talking about the creek. Creek talk, talking about the creek. Creek talk, talking about the creek. Talking about Dawson's Creek.
Welcome back to Creek Talk. This is Steven.
And I'm Jamie.
And this week, we're recapping Season 6, Episode 10, Merry Mayhem.
Hey, Christmas episodes!
I know. And you know what else is amazing? We've got a Christmas gift with us this episode!
We do! Lucky for you, we do.
Please welcome back one of our friends, one of our listeners, our devoted listeners. She's constantly posting in our Facebook group and keeping our engagement alive over there. Please welcome back our friend, Shayna. Welcome back.
Hi, guys. Thank you for having me again.
Oh, of course.
Thank you for coming back.
Oh, my gosh. Anytime.
We had so much fun with you on the last episode, and we said, whenever you want to come back, pick the episode, and you did.
It seems like it was liked when I was on last time, so.
Yeah, I think a couple people liked that episode. Well, wait, tell us why you wanted to be on this episode.
Oh my gosh, well, it's a Christmas episode, and I don't think there's many Christmas episodes in the whole series.
No.
And this is probably my favorite episode of the season, one of them. I actually don't like the last two episodes that much. I like the ending of the second one, but I don't really care for the finale. But this is probably one of my favorites of the season. So that's why. And it's deliciously chaotic. That's what I always call it.
It is.
Because it's so good.
It is a really, really good episode. And I forgot how good it was. And as I was watching it, I was like, oh my God, I totally forgot that she fucking drives a car into the fucking wall. And she's all,
I don't know how they don't freak out more than they have.
I know. That was the
Everybody is so calm, like, oh, it's no big deal. And I'd be like, my house.
Oh, it's just Audrey.
Oh, wait. So the thing that killed me with Audrey this episode was that her and Joey are just suddenly friends again. And there was no resolution to their conflict when Audrey was like telling Joey all this bullshit to her face. And suddenly Joey's like, no, come back to Cape Side with me. You're my friend again. And like Audrey obviously didn't want to go. Audrey's sitting there like, I don't want to go do Cape Side. It's boring. But like, I don't want to be your charity case either. And Joey's like, but you're not. But please come. And I was like, I wouldn't want to hang out with her. I'd be like, I don't even want to live with this girl anymore. She's an asshole.
I literally put in my notes, I'm like, Joey and Audrey aren't fighting anymore.
It was weird. It was very weird.
No, she had come at her so freaking hard in those couple of episodes. And I'm like, so what? We're just not going to talk about it? That she's a raging alcoholic and like messed up the bar and
messing a lot of stuff up, including her own life and now her friendships all around her.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
They really made Audrey like the supervillain this season. And it's insane to me because I even said it in past episodes. Like, I really did enjoy her coming onto the show because I was so hesitant about it. Like, I wasn't sure how I was going to like her coming onto the show, her character. Because I do remember back then I liked her, but when I read her book, or like the excerpt from her Dawson's Creek days, I didn't like her that much. I thought she was kind of like doing it for press. And I was just like, you know, I don't want to know about these things that I wasn't aware of because I have this certain image in my head about this show and these actors and these characters. And the way she sort of just like put it all out there, I thought it was a little gross. But
it like popped the bubble
a little bit. Yeah, I didn't like it. And I just felt like it was just weird. But then when she came on, her character came on, I thought she was really great comic relief. I thought she was she meshed well with the characters. And, you know, she sort of like was like a voice for all of them because they weren't like talking to each other. So she was like that person who was like instigating these like conflict resolutions, and now she's just a fucking asshole. I can't stand her.
Yeah, they really did her dirty because we were really growing to love this character, and now it's just like she's a mess. And while I understand they need to add some kind of like life experiences and some kind of like reality to it because this does happen to people, It just makes you like want to go like, girl, what are you doing? And why? And how? And what? You go home for one summer and you come back a mess. Like, what just happened?
But you have to remember when we met her mom, it showed us a lot of back history to why Audrey is the way she is. And I will say her acting in this episode was chef's kiss. Like, it was
Oh
really
yeah.
good acting.
Oh yeah, she's a wonderful actress.
But it's
She
like,
definitely sells. She sells what she's trying to portray really well.
yeah.
But it's like you dangled the cookie and then you took it away, almost like, and it's you pop the bubble of what was a really great character who could have had a really good character arc, and you just kind of stopped it mid, arc. I was going to say something else, but I decided not to.
And now she's just gonna be, I feel like they just, she disappears. Doesn't she like send her away to rehab and then that's it?
Yeah.
She
They
goes to
literally make a
rehab.
rehab joke
Yeah.
about this, and then she like goes off the deep end by the end of the episode. And I mean, she was right. Like at the end when she was talking to Jen, she was like, "You guys didn't even realize how bad I was until right now." But they're
Wow.
all, it's like weird, you know what I mean? Because it's like everybody's got their own lives. But at the same time, like you feel bad because Audrey puts so much effort into everybody else's life. She pays attention to everybody around her but herself. So she was always bringing these characters and stuff together to like make those resolutions. But then when she was starting to fail herself, nobody noticed because they were too busy in their own lives. I mean, we've talked briefly about this stuff before, but at the same time, if you don't tell anybody, it's hard for people to know, like with the whole Pacey thing and Joey. And it's like, well, Joey was giving them space because they were together all the time. So Joey's forming her own relationships and doing her own thing. She didn't know they broke up because neither of them spoke on it. But then again, isn't that kind of how life is? Usually the ones that need the most help are the ones that aren't saying anything, right? So I don't know.
Yeah. I'm curious to know what Busy Phillips reaction is to, or what her like what they decided to do with her character. I'm curious to know. I didn't finish reading her book, so I don't know.
I think what makes me sad about Busy Phillips is she doesn't really reference her time on the show on her socials. Like every once in a while, she'll post a back in the day of like her and Michelle, but she won't pass post like a picture of the cast or like share a funny story or whatever. Like you really, it makes you really think, was she that miserable during her time, or is it something she'd rather just block out? Or what,
Yeah, were they just not getting along that well that she doesn't have any good experiences and she was just there? Was she displeased with what they did with her character? Or is it one of those things like I think I've read somewhere about like the Twilight actors on how they were like super, super popular, but also embarrassed that they did those movies. Like, is it one of those situations where you wish you just didn't? I mean, I wonder what kind of heat she might have experienced with all of these diehard Dawson's fans when these were coming out, and all of a sudden everybody hated her character and in turn hated, Busy. So, because, people sometimes they can't differentiate things from reality to, make believe. So,
Yeah,
I
that's
mean,
true.
who knows what she went through, and maybe she just completely disliked how it turned out and it was enough for her to man, like, I man, this did not help my career. It harmed it. We don't know.
Well, I did read her whole book.
What'd she say? Because I didn't even know there was a book until Stephen mentioned it before. I
He
obviously
only gives one chapter
Yeah.
to Dawson's Creek. There's
Dawson's
only
Creek.
one chapter. And she talks about how, like, at the end of shooting, Joshua Jackson, everyone would kind of go to their own rooms, or they'd all go to like a bar and hang out, and nobody ever invited her. And it wasn't until she like got a relationship with Michelle that, she started to get invited out. But Katie Holmes and her were never close. They never had a good relationship. Katie was kind of a bitch to her, and she kind of was standoffish. And then after like she had that relationship with Josh Jackson and that fizzled out, like she really separated herself from the group. And she stopped spending more and more time, Katie did, with the group. And then in turn, Busy was just kind of by herself with Michelle Williams. So she really never felt like she part was of the group. She really just felt like she was like a second thought or a secondary character, which, I mean, she was, but...
I'm like trying to imagine you have this successful show or job, and you've got these group of people that have been together since the beginning. They're tight. They're like a family at this point. We're talking a couple of years, right? And then all of a sudden, you have a new person come in. And it's like, how do you integrate yourself into this tight family group when you literally just got there? So I can see how that could have become a problem. You're the new person. You're not really like part of the original group. It's probably hard, I would think, for anybody to like encroach on that, because it, some people might be like, you know, you're not really part of the group. But I mean, I don't know. Earlier years, it was probably easier because they weren't together quite as long. But we're in like, what, the sixth season now? 6 years we're talking about. We have these main casts and you've got people coming and going. You know what I mean? She lasted pretty long, but I guess it still just wasn't enough at this point because they were together for 5 years before she even showed up.
From what I remember from reading, when she joined the show, she was like shocked that she even got the job. But they were all so like close-knit and doing their own thing that, you're right, she wasn't like, she didn't feel like she was a part of the show, but she connected immediately with Michelle Williams because she says that in the book.
Michelle seems like she would be the like easygoing person, the easiest to get into involved with.
She mentioned a couple of times like she hung out with Katie, but like Katie Holmes was always with her boyfriend at the time, Chris Klein, and she wasn't like someone like a girl's girl. She was always like doing her own thing. And
some people are antisocial, and that's fine. You know what I mean? You don't have to be social with other people. And I do think some people misconstrue that antisocialness for just being a bitch, and that's not always the case. We don't know, but sometimes that's just your personality. I'm not trying to be a bitch. I'm just, I'm not interested in those close-knit relationships. You know, it's just not me as a person. I'd rather do my own thing, spend my time alone. I like to read. I'm with my boyfriend. That's what I'd rather do. I don't like to party. I don't like to go here and do this and do that. So,
well, this isn't Dawson related, but I don't know if any either of you are fans of Gilmore Girls, but I listened to the Scott Patterson podcast, and he's never watched one episode, even though he was a main character. And so he started from season one, episode one, and is watching them through.
Mm-hmm.
He had woman that played Lorelai on. And she said that everyone thought Alexis Bledel was such a bitch because she would stay in her trailer all the time if they weren't filming. And it's not that. She just gets really bad social anxiety.
Yeah.
So her being on the set stirred up social anxiety. So she would just stay in her trailer.
You got to decompress. You got to like.
And they thought she was horrible because craft service would bring her food to her. And she would sit in there and crochet and read. And they just thought she was horrible because she couldn't even, she thought she was too good to even eat with the cast. But that wasn't it.
And it was like her first, it was like her first big thing, right? Because I remember watching an interview where I can't remember the actors and actresses' actual name besides Alexis. But like Lorelai was even like in the beginning, if you watch her, like really watch her, she would like help make sure she's standing on the X marks where she's supposed to stand, like make sure she's not missing cues. And then she's where she's supposed to be in regards to the camera. Like I think it was like her first real gig. So you're talking about a new young girl and her first real gig, like TV show, learning the ropes with social anxiety. Like, yeah, dude, I would do what I gotta do. That's my job. And I'd probably go decompress somewhere by myself. Like, that's the thing, though. Like, a lot of people misconstrue antisocial tendencies for you're too good for us and you think you're better and you're a bitch. And that's not really the case. It's just that it's just not in their personality to be social. Not everybody is social.
Yeah, I think I'm the opposite. I don't think I have like major social anxiety. I have moments where I don't want to be out in crowds and I just would rather go home. But like, work-wise, if I was like starting a job as an actor on a TV show, I think I would want to mingle with people and get to know them. And then the more you get to know people's personalities, you know which people you don't really mesh with, and you just sort of stay away from them. But I think I'm more of a mingler, more of like a networker. Like, I want to know who you are, and like, I want people to know who I am. And it's not like a narcissistic thing or anything. I just want to like meet who I'm working with. People's different personalities, and like
some people you get along with more. Some people you get along with more than others. Yeah. You know what I mean? So there's nothing wrong with that. I on the little bit of the loner side, like I'm perfectly content being at home, although occasionally I do need to get out because, you know, you go a little stir crazy. I can be social, but eventually my social meter runs low and then I get tired and I'm like, okay, it's time for me to go home now. But like, I don't go looking for the social stuff. You know what I mean?
I need like a group of people. Like I need my, like my little group. And then that's what I do. You know what I mean? Like
I always, I tend to go through like spurts. Like sometimes I'm like, yeah, let's go out. Let's go out to dinner. Let's go to the movies or whatever. I'm not a club or a bar or whatever person, but, and then other times I'm like, oh my God, I don't even want to like go outside my front door.
Yeah.
But I like to mingle and meet people and then make up judgments for myself. Like, yes. Don't tell me what you think about somebody.
Right.
Let me decide that
for myself, because people can be one way to you,
yep,
and another way to me.
True.
Based on the vibe, I hate using that word, but the vibe or the feelings they get from somebody else. Because it's a lot of the interaction, social is like, Steven, you're funny and you're nice and you're this and you're that. But to somebody else, you might not be. They might not like you because your two personalities don't mesh well.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And I like, agree.
I've had to deal with that stuff where I would be like, I don't understand why the person doesn't like me. But like, it doesn't like kill me, but I would be like, whatever. Then like, I don't want to talk to you.
No, we don't know.
I totally understand.
We don't know what Katie's like, if she was a loner or her and Busy really just didn't mesh or whatever. You know, it's just funny when you see actors who have so many scenes together.
Right.
And then we you hear on the other hand, they're like, ooh, I don't like her. You know, it's like, whoa, that's weird.
Well, Jamie said it in another episode, because I remember bringing that up. And she said, well, like they're going to a job every day. It's not like, you know, there's people at your job that you don't really get along with that you don't want to like talk to outside.
But you tolerate with and you work together fine. It's just once the clocking hours stop, that relationship ends.
Yeah.
You don't keep it with you.
It's a professional relationship. That's all it is. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
So it's, and people don't realize that with acting, I think but you're still clocking in, going to a job and working. You're like, you don't need to be friends with everybody, you know?
Right.
So, but anyway, well, I like this episode. I think we all have the same consensus that we're excited to talk about this, right?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Let's get into this episode. What do you say?
Well, alrighty then. Let's do it.
This week, we are recapping Season 6, Episode 10, Merry Mayhem, aired December 11th, 2002, written by Tom Capinos and directed by David Petrarca. I can never say his goddamn name. This is a Christmas episode, obviously. Shani, you said earlier there's not many Christmas episodes in this series. I think the last Christmas episode was Kiss Kiss Bang Bang from season 4. And I wouldn't even call that a Christmas episode. They were at the Leary Christmas party and Gretchen and Dawson kiss under the mistletoe. Remember?
Gretchen. I miss Gretchen.
I don't.
Gretchen was like, why am I dating a child?
I just miss the episodes where, like, because that was what, season 3? I just miss the episodes. Four. It was four. You're right. It's not three. It was four. So I was thinking of when Joey and Pacey were together and they lived in that cute little house on the
bungalow.
The little bungalow. And I just like those episodes.
I forget season
4. It was when they come back. Yeah.
Every time I get to this season, I always go back and start season 3 again. I just get so nostalgic for season three. I watch the last episode of season two and then start season three while concurrently watching this season because I know what it leads up to. So it's like perfectly timed to where
it gets you to fall back in love with them as characters, you know what I mean? And their romance. It's and you're like,
wow, I've never done that.
The rest of us can breathe a sigh of happiness that they concluded this way.
I only ever get nostalgic for the first season and like some of the second season. But I don't know. I'm not a JC fan, obviously.
No. We've cleared that many times in our earlier episodes.
So we open with a voiceover and it's from Joey. And there's like this scene happening where it's like this miniature town. And we hear Joey talking and she goes, "Once upon a time in a galaxy not entirely like our own, there was a girl. There was nothing extraordinary about this girl. She was, by her own estimation, a relatively simple sort." Like, she's so conceited. "Yet she was cursed. For as long as she could remember, her romantic life had been something of a disaster. Boys either fell too hard, too fast, or not at all. She had long since given up on the notion of a functional relationship, which is why, in the winter of her 19th year, she was surprised to find herself in the company of a boy who made her feel as if the curse had been lifted, if only temporarily." It's all about fucking Joey. But we see Joey and Eddie looking at this miniature town through like a storefront. And it's snowing out and they're like having this moment and they're like trying to, they do like a stupid little like giggle, like they start laughing for a second. I don't know what was so funny.
I love that opening. I think it's so cute. I really do.
Did you like the monologue of Joey giving her own?
I did. I did.
Her future right there in her writing. Mm-hmm. Editorial, whatever she does.
I didn't mind it. I just thought it was like, oh, here we go. It's another.
Well, it's like Dawson. Okay. Remember, Dawson used to kind of do that, some of that sometimes.
Yeah, that's true.
With the fake potato flakes. No.
Yeah.
One time when they're outside and like Pacey's chasing Doug about the whole car debacle. If you watch where he steps,
did you see it?
Totally, just on like that white. Like I use it for when I have my little Christmas towns. It's like this white material. That you just lay on the ground like a blanket.
There was a TikTok going around about that a couple months ago, but
I saw that.
Yeah, the thing that cracked me up though, when I watched the scene, they tried to edit in like the sound effects, tried to edit in the sound of them stepping on snow, and it went horribly wrong. I don't know what they were doing, but you could tell it's fake snow. It's not real snow. But if you go back and listen to it, nothing matches up with the sound. It's so weird.
The crunch is not right.
No, it wasn't.
It's
at
not
all.
The right kind of crunch. It's like somebody chewing in the microphone as opposed to crunching the actual snow. Yeah. Weird.
Weird. So Joey's asking Eddie, she's like, chocolate or vanilla, cake or pie, Coke or Pepsi, Christmas or Halloween. And he says like everything she doesn't like. And she's like, we have nothing in common. Which is fine, Joey. Like, you don't have to have anything in common with your significant other. Like, me and Justin have nothing in common, please. And he goes, well, the sex is good. And she goes, please, I had better sex in elementary school. I was like, what?
Who says this, first of all?
All she talked about was being a virgin in high school. And now she's talking about this. I know she was joking, but still.
Yeah, she's trying to be funny, but honestly, the humor was lost on me. I'm like,
it was for me, too.
It's kind of a throwback to when she busted in on that date with Dawson and Jen, remember? And she was like, I like your hair color. What number is it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What box number is that? Let me know.
It kind of reminded me a little bit of that.
Yeah. She's like, how about you? Years ago, a trucker named Bubba.
Bubba. Yeah, that's right.
So she has one more question. She goes, Christmas in Boston in your squalid little apartment or Christmas in Capeside with yours truly? And he doesn't like say anything. He just stares at her. He's like, oh, shit. And then she gets kind of embarrassed. And she goes, "Wow, I crossed the line into that world where girls pressure their boyfriends into doing stuff with them. I just referred to you as my boyfriend. I'm a mess. I apologize." And he says, "Apology accepted." That bothered me. I was like, why is she apologizing, first of all? And have they not put any, like, what's the word?
Label.
Label. Have they not put any type of label on their relationship? They're fucking each other. Like, they're with each other all the time. Is she not his girlfriend? Is he not her boyfriend?
This
Weird.
entire thing is just weird with him. This entire episode, he's
Yeah.
like 1 foot in, 1 foot out the door,
Hot and
halfway ready to
cold.
grow. Yeah. So
God.
again, with his relationship, like I was never sold on it from the beginning because while I do think that two people from two different worlds can coexist, he's not willing to give it the proper chance the way that she
Yeah.
is. He's
Are they
expecting
truly from two
wonders.
different worlds, though? They're both from
In his
the
eyes,
trailer park.
in his eyes, they're from two different worlds because he hasn't, again, tried to get to actually know her, know where she comes from. And when even when he comes to Capeside this time and he shows up, all he sees is like this B&B. He didn't see the shack she grew up in and the fact that it was just her sister, a baby, and the baby daddy that comes and goes, that her own dad was in prison. He doesn't see that stuff. He comes, he sees a nice business. He sees a dad, he sees a sister, he sees a baby, and we don't see Stephen, what's his name? Oh my God. What's the baby name?
Bodie? Eddie?
Yeah, thank you, Bodhi. I'm like,
No.
it's
He
a
is
weird
in it
name.
though. He's in
Yeah,
it.
he is, but we don't, I don't see him that much, but he's there. They mention him, you know what I mean? Like, I don't remember actually seeing him. I probably blinked and he was gone,
He was at
but
the Christmas dinner table.
oh
If
yeah,
you
he was
look, he
quiet. He
was
was one of the
sitting
ones I
next to
wasn't paying.
Betsy.
He was one of the ones I wasn't paying attention to because he didn't speak. So, you know what I mean? Like, this is what he sees, and it goes in line with his whole, like, yeah, you guys have money, you come from this world, I'm poor, I come from this is what my dad does. And she's like, my dad was in prison. You know what I mean? Like, it's just they don't, but he has this preconceived notion that they are not on the same level. And he
It's
even mentions it later.
kind of presumptuous, though, of her to presume that he's got no family to go to and he's got
Oh
no
yeah.
life. It's kind of rude to be like, "Well, you're gonna just come with me because I'm just assuming you have no life."
I
Like,
think she's just kind of like used to that too. Not just because of where she saw that he lives, and it is very presumptuous, but like we're talking about, she does it with Audrey too, like twice. And like, well, you can just come back with me. Like that's no big deal. Like my family's over is always welcoming. I didn't think it was, and this is what I mean though. Like they don't know each other. They're not getting past the initials. They're skipping into the intimate stuff, but they're not getting past the initial getting to know each other. He's not trying to get to know Joey. Joey's trying to get to know him. He's not giving her anything. So all she has are assumptions. You know what I mean? Oh, you don't mention your family, even though she did just meet his father like an episode or two ago. But you live in this like apartment and that's cool, but it's like I don't know. They're not giving each other a chance to actually make this relationship work. And it just, this is the beginning of the end of the relationship. And honestly, I'm ready to move on from it because they are not working. You know what I mean? He's not giving the relationship or Joey the chance. He's 1 foot in, 1 foot out, and ready to bolt.
it's also really hilarious that they really don't know anything about each other when last season she was having this weird fling with Charlie and all she wanted to do was talk about her whole life to him and
Yeah.
like her fucking bruise on her arm and like her first grade teacher and all this stuff. And now Eddie and Joey know nothing about each other except their private parts. That's
That's
it.
what I
I was
mean. And I
literally
mean,
gonna say that. It was
Charlie
absolutely
was
them.
trying to get to know her. He
You shouldn't
spent
even
all
fuck
night.
him.
I know they spent all night talking. You know what I mean? He's not trying. She's trying to ask him questions. He's not answering. He's changing the subject. He's not giving her anything. And it's hard for her to give him information on her life when the conversation isn't happening. All they have is the bar, sex, and like maybe her classes. That's it. There's nothing else happening here.
He's a snarky fuck boy.
Yeah. And he's making himself that way. So he's like, she's trying, he's not giving, and this
Well,
relationship is moving forward.
Well, I do think it's a little too soon for him to meet her family, to be honest with you.
Well, yeah, they don't know anything about each other.
Obviously.
I
I just
agree.
wouldn't invite somebody back after just, a couple of months and being like, hey, you want to come back to my hometown and meet my family for Christmas? I'd be like, all right,
Yeah.
I'll see you when Christmas is back, when in the new year. See you in the new year, Eddie, at the bar. Oh, wait, he's not even working at the bar anymore. But
I'll see you when classes resume. Yeah. Or not, because he doesn't go there anymore either. It's just like I don't know what he's trying to do. This
This
season
is
they
the
could
way the writers are. This is what the writers do, though. They are like, all right, so we're gonna get them together and they're gonna really like each other, even though they're like real like mean to each other, and then they're gonna have sex with each other, and then they're gonna be like all lovey-dovey. And then one episode, they're gonna find something and they're gonna break them up. And they do it with Dawson and Natasha in this episode too. And
Yeah.
just that's all they do. That's all the writers do on this show. They put people together and then break them up.
Well, they gotta keep the you gotta keep them coming back. You can't get boring. You need
I
that
know.
conflict, you know, but
But her apologizing to him for calling him her boyfriend, I thought that was, he should have been like, oh, it's not a big deal, Joey. Like, we should have that conversation. But instead he's like, yeah, you dumb bitch, you're not my girlfriend. That's what it kind of felt like.
I know. And I mean, it's not Joey's fault. And her relationship, like, experience, by the time they get to that intimacy level, they've been together forever. You know what I mean? And she's even said as much in the past. But it's
Yeah.
just like, I just don't like this relationship. I'm ready for it to be over. These guys just are not compatible. But he's too stuck in whatever his prejudices are, and he's not giving her what, you know. I just I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm done. This guy
Well,
in a stupid vest.
red vest
Damn
and
your
his
vest.
sweater,
It
and his,
was, yeah,
yeah.
I don't
And the
look good
Christmas
in
tree they
sweater.
never put up.
Yeah, they didn't, did they? Oh. So she says, actually, I take that back. I want you to meet my dysfunctional family and convince my retarded sister to buck tradition and throw out our fake Christmas tree. Is that so wrong? I was like, Joey Potter said retarded. That was
I
crazy.
know. And she is just, Bessie is not.
No, please. Are you kidding me? Bessie's like the best
She
sister
just
ever.
likes mess-free trees. I am all for the fake tree. It's not going to catch on fire.
I
A
don't
light
like
goes,
real
but
trees
that's less
either.
likely than an actual tree. I don't have to deal with the pine needles on the floor. I don't have
Nope.
to worry about watering the freaking thing. Like, I don't have to worry about the animals, like, coming, like animals
Climbing
coming with
in
it, like birds' nests and bugs. Like, no, I
bugs.
don't want to deal with the live trees. I'm good.
So he's like, I have a dysfunctional family of my own, so I won't be celebrating alone if that's what you're worried about. He just thinks that this is just too much too soon. And she's like, well, we're even then, because clearly I'm a typical girl and you're very much a typical guy. And he says he's just worried about meeting her family around this time of the year. And I'll probably have to wear a holiday sweater. And he looks so stupid in sweaters. And then he's like, pencil me in for
As he
President
wears sweaters
weekend.
every day.
No, he wears, Eddie wears, what's it called? Like flannels and t-shirts all the time. That's like his, and that vest.
I mean the vest, under the vest. If he's outside, he's got a sweater on and the vest. The man
His
is just.
orange emergency vest.
Oh, God, I hate that vest. I want to set it on fire so bad.
I kind of like it.
Well, all right, Stephen. You can like it.
So she goes, fine, but don't think we're ever going to have sex again. And he goes, typical girl using sex as a weapon. And he goes, you're very pretty. And she goes, sucking up will get you nowhere. And we get the opening credits. And that's when we cut to Joey's dorm. She's packing for winter break to go back to Capeside. And Miss Mess herself, Audrey, comes in. And she's like, I missed my fucking flight, Joey. This is all your fucking fault. And Joey's like, hey, when did we become friends again? And
That's literally what I was thinking.
she's like, Willie Loman types are buying me drinks at the bar before my flight. And, you have to get sauced up before flying the friendly skies because it keeps the voices down in my head that are telling me that I'm about to plummet to my death. And Joey's like, you're drinking way too early, Audrey. You have to be careful because next semester you might be spending that in rehab. I was like,
Woo!
There's a future there, a little preface into the future for her.
Foreshadowing, right?
Foreshadowing. Yes, that's the correct word.
So Joey's like, so come to Cape Side, Audrey. Let's forget about our blow up and all this stuff you said about me copying you as a singer. Come to Cape Side. And she's like, no way, Joey. Nobody in this group even likes me anymore because I'm such a fucking asshole to everybody. And second, Cape Side's boring as fuck. So why would I want to spend Christmas with you and your loser family?
She is. I have to
And
give her
she's
credit
like,
though. She does this episode so well, and she has absolutely no filter anymore, and she calls everybody out on their shit, even though she's out of line most of the time. She just throw caution to the wind. She's like, I don't fucking care.
You know, when I was watching it, I was like, wow, she's playing this like I really don't like her. And it's amazing. Like, I think it's a lot of credit to her acting because she's like,
Oh, yeah.
as an actress, because she did go from this, like I said it earlier, this like fun loving character that's hilarious to now she says certain things and you're like, you're such a bitch. Like, why would I want to be friends with you?
She was
And
voted off the island.
yeah, and Joey's still trying to be like her friend, which I mean, you know, they did build this relationship. They have this bond, whatever, and they're college roommates. Like they always say, like your college roommate, like your friends forever or whatever. And you know, I've seen that. Like I have friends who are still best friends with their college roommates. But she just really did. She even says it, like I alienated my the only thing I did this semester was alienate myself from everybody, and she did. And Joey is still trying to like make things better with her, but Audrey is just her own worst enemy. Like she really is. And she is dealing with all these like internal things that like she never talked about the what's it called? The potential, not potential.
Eight, right?
Yeah, like she almost got date raped. She's not talking about her drinking. She's like sneaking drinks constantly. She's like popping pills in this episode. She's not talking to people about it. She broke up with Pacey in the most like bizarre way possible and blaming everybody else for her actions. And she's not taking accountability, but she wants to blame everybody for them not seeing how she's been acting. But like, you're not asking for help and you're not saying, like, I'm a mess.
These are the signs, though, that should speak louder. But the fact is, people have lives. You know what I mean? Because I was
Yeah,
mentioning
Gabby
it
said that.
before. It's always the ones that aren't asking for help are the ones that usually need the most help because they've
Right.
already given up on the people around them and they're checking out.
Well, I will tell you guys that I've been sober for 3 years,
Oh, wow.
and
Good
I
job.
was a rager before that. And nobody noticed.
Yeah. Wow.
I was a complete functioning alcoholic. And I'd get up every morning at 5:45 and get my kids to school just fine. But as soon as I got home from dropping them off, that was it. It was go time. And nobody noticed. Not my husband, not my parents, not nobody noticed.
Some people hide it really well too.
So
They
it's
just it's
possible. I
yeah.
mean, I was still baking, cooking, getting everybody home, making sure everything was done, but I was wasted. So, I mean, it is possible to hide it.
Yeah, that's true. 'Cause
But
I also not me, but like I grew up in a household with an alcoholic, and some people don't hide it very well. You know what I mean? You've got the ones that hide it, and then you got the ones that aren't very good at hiding it. They're very different worlds, that's for sure.
yeah.
But
But congratulations on your sobriety. Like, that's amazing.
yes, congratulations.
Thank you.
So Audrey's like, look, I don't want to intrude on any of this. And Joey says, well, Dawson's mom is inviting everyone to dinner, which sounds like a recipe for disaster, but at least we'll all be together. And she's just like, fine. Can I ask your dad what it's like being in prison? She's like, sure.
Knock
Just
yourself out.
come. And they hug, and Joey's like, I promise it'll be fun. So then Joey leaves for a second, and Audrey pulls out a bottle of a handle of vodka and like takes a swig. And I literally got nauseous watching that. I was like, it took me back to my days partying and doing the playing that game where you drink vodka from a ice cube tray with a straw. It's like a race. Did you ever play that?
Never heard that game before.
Yeah, well, it's turn into a mess.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never done that. I never gotten a drinking like that.
So now we're in Cape Side. Pacey pulls up in his new car. He traded in the orange Mustang. Jamie, your favorite car.
I'm so sad, but that's okay, I guess. I literally had something in here about he got rid of my Mustang.
Remember, he lived in it, remember, Jamie?
He definitely lived in it. I even have a sad face in here going, first I was like, Dougie! And then I was like, I like the Mustang. And I was driving a Beamer.
So
he turned into a swarmy stockbroker.
Yes, he did.
Which I don't think is that big of a deal. Like, he's earning a living. And Doug over here is, like, so shocked to see that. He's, like, standing on his own 2 feet, like, bringing presents home for everybody. Doug's still, like, in Cape Side as the town police officer or whatever. And he's like, Pacey, like, what's going on? And Pacey's like, you know, I work like you.
Dude, this is the reality of it, though. When you know what I mean? He had such a hard time in high school. He barely graduated by the skin of his teeth. He didn't go to college. Literally, everybody in Cape Side thinks the lowest of Pacey. They don't expect much to come out of him. So when he comes back and he's got this job and he's making money, it's almost too easy. And so people get suspicious.
That's true.
And that's what this is. And you're talking about a guy who's in law enforcement. He's like, listen, I know that you're always looking for an easy way. Is this place on the up and up? Like, are you sure your company you're working for is on the up and up? And, like, I understand where he's coming from with that.
I didn't even look at it like that, Jamie.
Because, like, if you think about it, like, people are like that. They're like, listen, you hardly made it through school. You barely didn't even graduate. You didn't go to college. Now you're making more money than most people. Are you doing legal things? You know what I mean? It just
makes I literally kind of just sense. Looked at it like, God, Doug's being such a freaking douche.
Yeah, I think most
like he's people really treating Pacey like shit right now. He should be so proud of his come up.
He's like, just why suspicious. Is he being like this? And he's a cop. And I think he's also used to bailing Pacey out of situations. And he's just like, is this another one of those situations? And then he mentions later, like, dude, when you were a cook, I was proud of you. It was an honest job. Is what you're doing really honest? Like, because he's handling money and like selling things and selling stocks, and they have to buy and sell, and it's a give and take, and it's somebody, you know.
But he had to take a Series 7 exam.
I understand.
He's allowed to sell stocks.
I know. I understand that. But
he studied.
He's certified.
You're talking to a person who probably doesn't even do anything in stocks, right? Dougie, we don't know. Dougie might not even have a 401k. Okay.
Dougie's still secretly watching gay porn and jerking off in his police car. Okay. That's where Dougie is right now.
To be honest, though, if I had to choose between two professions, a cook or chef or a stockbroker, I'm probably going to go with the cook. And I mean, I'm not just saying that because my boyfriend is a cook.
Like, oh, right.
I'm not saying it because of that, although that is an incredible turn on. I love when men can cook. But it's like, I don't know. I mean, stockbroking is such a, I feel like it's like a wishy-washy game because you're up and then you're crashing and then you're up and then you're crashing. So you might be rolling in money and then you might not be making any money. It's so unpredictable. So like,
I was just going to say, I feel like it's not a steady stream of income.
No,
like
it's not.
You like you'd be really good for a while. Like that was a job you did, like kind of like real estate. You'd have to put money away in a savings because you never knew if you were going to be dry and not sell a house or whatever, not sell stock.
It's not consistent. I agree 100%. And if you're not paying attention to the market, unless you're the one controlling the market, you are going to eventually lose. And Pacey will learn that the hard way eventually in a couple episodes. I think he literally, they tank. So it turns into a
Dawson's
whole thing.
Money or something.
Yeah, he loses Dawson's money. Yeah, he invests with Dawson. Yeah, and he loses it. And then that's how that goes. But like, I at least in Dougie's perspective, what he's seeing is his kid brother, who was the one who always got into trouble and did all of this stuff, barely graduated, all of a sudden rolling in money. That's what he sees. And so he's like, dude, I mean, this is great. I'm happy for you. This is cool, but you're being overly generous. How much money you're actually rolling in is kind of suspicious, bro. Are
That
you
I
really
can
up and
see.
up?
I see that.
In my opinion, that is the way I feel like Dougie is approaching it. Like in the beginning, it was cool. He got a new car, he traded it in. That's not that big of a deal. But then he's showering them with Palm Pilots, but those were expensive, I guess, back then. And he got his brother like a fancy watch. Who knows what
Well,
else
that's
he
what he
bought.
does, though. He's showing off, you know, because he's.
And I think that's part of it too. It's like, this isn't like, okay, you're being a little too much. You're a little extra right now. I don't know. It made him suspicious. It's all right.
Well, I don't know anything about stock brokering stocks or being a stockbroker. I don't know anything about it, so I can't agree or disagree with any of the statements either of you made about stockbroking. But I will say, if he's bringing in all this money, they should just be like, all right, Pacey, well, at least you're like surviving.
I
Like,
think it was
gotten some
Dougie's way of
ramen.
just looking out for
Yeah.
his little brother. I think that it
That
was
I
just
agree
his
with. I
way of
do.
looking out for his brother. Like, dude, are you sure that the, because he doesn't even say him. He said, are you sure the company that you're working for, the people you're working for, are on the up and up?
Right.
That's it. He wasn't even really pointing it at Pacey and saying, dude, what are you doing? You're fucking up. He's saying, are you sure the company you work for, the people you work for, are on the up and up? That's all he was saying.
Yeah.
So.
Gotcha. So now we cut to Dawson putting tinsel on his Christmas tree in his museum of the
Ugh,
living room.
tinsel.
And I
I don't
know,
like
I don't
tinsel.
use, do you use tinsel, Shana? I don't use tinsel. No.
No, I use ribbon or something.
Garland. Yeah.
Yes, or cranberries or popcorn. I don't do.
Oh my God, we used to do that as kids. We used to string together the popcorn and like the cereal and stuff. We used to do that.
My dog will eat it. I had to be careful.
Yeah, so I mean, and it's so like tinsel, my dad and my stepmom, they use tinsel on their trees. And like the cats would eat it, it would get stuck, and then that's never fun when it comes out. And
Ew.
it's static electricity that you bring that stuff home. It gets stuck to your clothes, it gets stuck to
Yeah.
whatever you like, your boxes, your things that you're bringing home. I'm like finding tinsel 4 months later. I'm like, why? So
Yeah,
I'm
it's very
strongly
like,
against tinsel.
and it's
It's
very
not
like,
biodegradable. It's like you can't reuse it. You throw it away, and it's a waste. It's
and it's just
just.
something like you would see in like the 70s and like 80s. It's not something that I feel like it's like a current thing to decorate your tree with.
I don't even think that it makes the tree pretty. I
No.
just think it looks like a mess, like somebody just shot
It
glitter all
makes
over
it look cheap.
it. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just don't like it. It's
I
not my
agree. My
thing.
dog's a raccoon. She would eat it.
Yeah, I mean, for those of you out there that are looking at us like we're crazy because you use tinsel, that is cool. That is all for you. We're just saying we are not fans.
You should do a question box. Do you use tinsel? Yes or no?
I will secretly judge you. Just kidding.
We should do a lot of question boxes, right, Jamie?
Oh my God, yeah.
So Natasha comes over and she kisses him and he's like, what was that for? Because he's like so cool now, Dawson. What was that for?
Just trying to like anytime she's showing intimacy towards him, he's questioning it because of what he overheard. I don't even know why he's still feeding into this crap, but whatever.
I know. This made me so confused about their relationship, but she's like, must you
You and Dawson
question?
both.
Well, like I got it at the end, but at the same time, we'll get to it when we get to that scene, but she's like, why must you question my every romantic whim? It was a simple thank you for taking me deep in the heartland for an old school American Christmas. She's annoying. Natasha's annoying.
Yeah, I don't like her. She talks too much.
She does. She says too much. And she's like, and just for being you, I's a lucky girl. It's like, shut up. Nobody says that. So then he's like, his gal stopped grilling you. She goes, no. She keeps asking what my intentions are. Aside from banging in the new year with her one and only son, I didn't much know or care. And he goes, oh, great.
And that just goes to show how much she's actually dedicated to this, because she's just like, I don't even care. It's your mom. Instead of trying to impress her, she's just like, well, I don't care. She's an interesting one. I just don't like her. She's
She's a
not a
typical,
relationship
like.
person. She's just a hit and quit, man.
Let me interject. She's a typical Hollywood actress.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They're stereotyping off of a typical Hollywood actress, what they assume or know that they act like.
Yeah, and that's exactly what she kind of like. She sort of
that's what she says
admits.
Later. Yeah.
She's just, it's kind of gross though. Like her whole thing, it's just, I don't like her.
Her shtick is gross.
And like, she's, it's not that hot. Like, I'm not judging her on her looks, but she's not like J-Lo. Like, her name's Bianca Kajlik. She was in a Halloween movie. If we're like basing her on her looks, I don't think she's like this stunning beauty. She's very average looking to me. I don't know. I don't know. I can't explain it. That sounds really, really rude to say, but
no. I mean, it's not though, because if you line up Hollywood, right, you got like Jennifer Aniston and, you know, I can't think of any others right now. She's the first one that popped up on my mind. You line them up, right? And then you throw this girl next to them. Yes, she's beautiful, but she's not like our typical American Hollywood stars, right?
No, line up some like gorgeous girls. Who are you fucking? Definitely not Bianca Kajlik or whatever her name is. Like, right. No.
She's pretty, but she's like B-rated.
Yeah. I wouldn't compare her to somebody like Jennifer Aniston or somebody like J-Lo or...
But that's what they're chalking her up to. She's,
I don't,
like,
even think she's as pretty as Katie Holmes. I think Katie Holmes is like gorgeous, but
yeah. I think Busy Phillips is beautiful.
Oh yeah.
I do too. And I think Michelle Williams is too. They all are.
They're all beautiful.
I wonder if they purposely hired her just for her, for that reason too. Like, she just is very average looking to me. I don't think she's like
to shine down. They can't outshine the stars.
This conversation is going somewhere we probably shouldn't be going, but whatever.
Well, I'm just saying, you can't outshine the stars. Like, when they brought in, what's his name? In the last episode, he was supposed to be this big Hollywood to do.
Max Winter.
Yeah. Eddie Cahill. I was expecting like Brad Pitt to walk through the doors, okay? And they got this guy with this crazy mop of a head, and I'm like, okay, this is their dream worthy celebrity here in Dawson Creek land, Cape Side. Like, I don't know. This is what their celebrities look like. They're average. sorry, actors. You know, sorry, you guys.
It made that whole thing made me think like they were trying to do something with like a Josh Hartnett type, but Josh Hartnett is even hotter than Max Winter.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. See, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Josh Hartnett was like so big back then and everything.
Oh yeah. And then, but I'm telling you, as they got older, honey.
I know.
Yeah, he aged well.
Yeah, he did.
There's some of them that I'm just like, dang, I thought you were hot in like the 90s, but holy smokes.
Brian Phillippe? Like, are you kidding me? I think that he looks better now than he did back then.
Oh, and 100%. He was hot then. He was hot then, too. That man aged like fine wine. Like, some of these guys, they really age well.
You know who else did, too? Do you know who the actor Jonathan Shake is? He was in That Thing You Do. We talked about him in an episode. He was just in a movie called Suitable Flesh. He's in his 50s now. He was hot back then. But he's like hotter than fucking ever now. And he's like not wearing clothes in that movie. And I was like, what? What are you doing? But I mean, he was hot back then. He's like even hotter now. It's crazy.
So I don't know. Maybe just they just didn't want to hire these like temporary roles to be hotter than our main cast.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Emma too.
I think Emma's pretty. I do too.
I do too, but she's their version of like the funky off color, like the funky girl, you know, like the girl that doesn't go with the flow or the whatever. But I think she's gorgeous and I love her style and I think she's fun.
Me too. I like her too. I like her a lot. And in the last episodes we were talking about how she like comes into this party and they're all like they think she's wearing like a fucking garbage bag over her body, and I was like, she looks the best out of everybody at this
she
party.
Looked amazing. It's just not that type of party. Was very like bougie and she just she stuck out like a sore thumb. She did not dress for the appropriate.
Are you talking about the stockbroker party?
Their holiday party.
Yeah, they were like, Pacey, who's this dog that you brought with you?
I was not happy with her that episode. I'm not going to lie. Like, I wasn't, I mean, we've discussed it.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that in the episode. I was not very,
I was not very happy with her. Not so much with her choices for Sway as just her, like her disrespect towards Pacey in that situation. But that's neither here nor there. I was just like, I'm not pleased with you.
So we cut to Gail and Todd in the kitchen. And he's like making drinks and he's like flirting with her. Like you can tell she's like getting annoyed by him. And you see little Lily, and Gail's got like candles burning everywhere and Lily's walking. And I was like, she's going to burn the house down.
Oh my God. I mean, Alexander.
Baby cute. Alexander. Yeah.
He's huge.
Lily Leary.
Lily Leary. LL.
The most beautiful garden, or what did Graham say? Rose, the most beautiful flower in the garden.
Oh yeah, she did say that, didn't she? God, I didn't even remember that. So Natasha's like, I'll go break them up. So she goes over and Gal comes over to talk to Dawson, and she's like, that Natasha is a trip, which was funny because Natasha said the same thing
about
Gal. And Gal's like, so what's your deal with her? Are you serious? Are you guys serious? Is she your girlfriend? Or is this some kind of casual sex thing? And Dawson's
Gail
like,
is literally like, God, please don't be serious. God, please don't be serious.
Gal's like, look, I used to be a hoe, okay? I smell a hoe. But I know a hoe when I see one. So, son, don't be with this hoe.
You will never be her Bob.
No.
Back to you, Bob.
Bob.
I don't like the way she says Bob.
With her soft B's.
You're reaching, Dawson.
Throwback.
Okay, I'm done.
So Dawson's like, first of all, that's disgusting, but I have no idea. I'm in a relationship and I have no clue where it's headed or how to define it. And she goes, and that's okay with you? And he says, I really don't have a choice. And she says, is that because of the way they do things in California? And she's like, you know who would have gotten a kick out of all this? Mitch. Duh.
Mitch.
His son bringing home his movie star girlfriend and his big time movie director. And he's like, yeah, Dad would totally love this. Mitch would love this. Pour one out for Mitch. So Gal says, I don't think your father would appreciate your boss hitting on me, though. And Dawson's like, what? So then Todd comes out with all of his, he goes, it's my mom's favorite eggnog recipe. And they all drink it, and Dawson makes a face like, this is disgusting. And Todd's like, haven't I taught you to drink better than that, Leary? And Gal goes to excuse herself to go check on the dinner. And Natasha's like, oh, I'll come keep you busy, Gal. Or Mrs. Leary, she calls her. I'll come keep you busy, Mrs. Leary. And she's like, okay, great. So what was it like working with Max Winter? Is he really that attractive in person, or like, what is it? And then you hear her voice trailing off. And then Todd's like, speaking of handsome, your mom's a really handsome woman. You mind if I take a shot at her? And Dawson's like, what? Go fuck yourself, Todd. Look, that's my mother. But he called Gal handsome.
Entire, like, episode.
I thought that was weird.
Yeah.
Like, usually if you're
handsome, Larry.
Yeah, like if you're saying someone looks like kind of mannish, then you say, oh, they're handsome or whatever.
I think that's like an English thing, though.
It might be.
Because that's not the first time I've heard that.
Well, why don't we ask Dorit Kemsley?
Oh, Jamie's not laughing because she doesn't get who that is.
No, I'm sorry. No
PK!
Idea.
PK! So, Jamie, what would you do? What would you do if a guy was like, you're very handsome?
Is he English?
No, he's just like...
If he's American?
He's regular.
Then I'd be offended. If he was English, I'd be like, all right, thanks. Because I feel like it's the English people that use that term that way.
Well, we need to find out if that's a true statement. Because I don't know if that is. I think...
What if someone called you a bird? Like, if they were like, oh, you're a lovely bird.
Again, are they English?
It's only English people saying this.
This is just like, it's like, I feel like it's an English thing.
You know what other word English people love? They always say cunt. So yeah. Maybe if they called you that, they'd be like, Are you English? And they're like, no, I just think you're a
Like, all right. So if like an
cunt.
English person said cunt, I'd have to try and be like, hey, I know this is like, your word of saying like fuck the way we say it here, but don't say that word in the States, okay? Because you're probably gonna get mean mugged like a mother. So like, just don't say that. We don't say that word.
Why is it such
That's
a
my
bad
least.
word? I don't think
Oh
it is.
God, it's my least favorite word in the English language.
Everybody hates it. Yeah, I don't know
Every
why.
time someone says it, I like
It
tense up. I
cringe.
hate that word. But I
Oh
was
God, I'm so
raised
sorry.
different. Like, we don't. No, don't apologize. Oh my God, my best friend, that's every other word out of her mouth. So don't even. And
Every time she
always
says it, you're like, yeah, you're like, cut, cut. Oh my God. And you're like,
stop.
clean your clothes. Are you looking it up, Jamie?
Yeah, I am.
Is handsome, bird, and cunt English saying slang?
Because in the US, cunt is an extremely slanderous word for vagina. But what's interesting, so like in the UK, slang for vagina is pussy, right? And then
Which I think is an even grosser word.
cunt is the actual is the most correct English word that was used prior to the 16th century. I just don't know why it's, I guess it's just, it's considered vulgar. They just said because it's considered vulgar and pussy isn't. Pussy can mean vagina or someone who is weak, and a cat just isn't harsh, right? Cunt is a harsh word and it
Oh
is
yeah.
only one meaning. Like,
I don't like pussy either.
Don't
Yeah.
either. I
I
hate that
think
word.
it's like, I don't
I
know.
feel
I
like it's
think
cringy. The word is
yeah.
cringy. It's
Like when
cringy.
someone says, oh, look, there's my pussy cat. I'm like, ooh.
You know, like, why you
It's cringy,
gotta
but it's not as harsh as cunt. Cunt is a very harsh word. Pussy is just cringy. Like, it's just like you're gross. Like, don't say that. Like, nobody says that. Like,
yeah.
it's not a sexy word. Just
No,
it's
I
a
agree. I don't
vagina,
like
okay? It's a vagina, a vajayjay, whatever, if that makes you feel better. It is just, it's the other words are just, they're too much. It's unnecessary. It's just, call it what it is. It's a vagina, okay?
it's a hoo-ha.
Whatever.
I don't know. I always taught my kids clinically correct words so that if anything ever happened to them, they'd be able to tell me exactly with clinically correct words.
Right.
Yeah.
My brother once
That's
called
just
his
not how
ankle
I roll.
meatball and it confused all of us. Okay. So, like, my brother's like, I hurt my meatball. And we're all looking at each other going, is he talking about his balls? Like, I don't know what's happening. And then he pointed at his ankle and we're like, oh.
Why did he call his ankle his meatball?
Dude, he was like four.
Oh.
He was like four. We all stood there looking at each other like, meatball. And then we had to ask him, can you clarify? Like, what are you talking about? And he looked at, he pointed at his ankle. He touched his ankle. We're like, oh, your ankle. He didn't know the word for it. So he said meatball because it was round. It looked like a meatball. I don't know.
Oh, gotcha.
Anyways,
Anywho,
Any
basically, it's
hoo-ha.
just a harsh word and nobody likes it. I don't know.
So we get this really quick montage. We see Jen and Grams in church, which is like it, that was a throwback to season one. That reminded me of season one.
It was nice to see them there.
Yeah. And we got this like terrible like Christmas, quote unquote Christmas song playing in the background. I don't
Oh
even know
my God,
what this
all of it was like the most generic, like no song I'd ever heard before. It was like generic elevator music Christmas songs.
I swear they were just, she was just saying random words to like
It's
this melody.
copyright, guys, copyright.
She was like, pencil in the snow and rain doesn't snow in the air and the ground. Like she was just saying words to this melody. It was so weird. I kept trying to pick up on what she was saying, but it was so odd. I was like, what fucking song is this? It's so bizarre.
I will sing about the snow, but I can't say Santa Claus because of copyright, so I'll say Santa Snow.
She's like, have yourself a very happy holiday and keep smiling. And
Yeah.
the Potter B&B and the Leary household. She's
It's like
literally
they're,
like
it's like the
singing the
Potter
song.
B&B like winter commercial. Come stay here with us. I'll sing you a song. This is the winter B&B commercial.
with the footage that Pacey shot.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, right. Oh my god. No, she was like literally singing out the whole episode. She was like, oh my god, my sister's retarded. Come to the Potter B&B. And Eddie will bring a tree because Bessie likes fake trees.
It's kind of funny because she literally goes, when her dad comes in and is like, okay, where can I start with this? Because we're about to get into it anyway.
We're about to just talk about it.
Okay, let's go.
I hate this whole scene. I hate everything about it.
Well, Joey gets woken up.
Joey reminds me of me. Joey reminds me of me in this episode, in this season, in this part.
Because so we're all supposed to just be like, look, Mike's back. Woohoo!
Everything. No, not even that, because I had some thoughts about that too, but whatever. But like her like not wanting to wake up and like, no, I gotta sleep. And then God, what's it gonna take for a girl to get some sleep? Like that, I have done that to my mom. She has come in with pots and pans, and I have stormed down those steps cursing because I wanted to sleep, and it was 8 a.m., and, like, we are in our 20s, and nobody cares right now. Like, Christmas will be fine. It'll be here in an hour. Let me sleep. Like, I've been that person.
You get 8 a.m.? You're lucky.
Well, because we're not kids anymore. Oh, you know what I mean? True. When we were younger, my brother and I would wake up before everybody else and sneak and look at the presents, you know, and then we had to stay in our rooms until our pup came and everybody had their coffee and everybody had their donuts or whatever was brought. And then we could come out and then we had to sit in front of the tree and wait until everybody had their cameras and everything ready. And my mom had the trash bag for the wrapping paper. Yeah, we had to
wait. They just be doing the most.
We had to wait until my mom said, okay, go. And then we would start ripping into stuff. Yeah.
No, so that's crazy.
That's how it worked in my house. Okay. That's how it worked in my house. So when I was 20 something years old, I was trying to sleep in and my mom wakes up early and she's excited and she's banging on pots and pans, waking us up. Let's go. Let's go. I waited.
Wait,
and
I'm like, to wake you 7 up to just wake you up to just wait.
No. As an adult. No, it wasn't as exciting as an adult. But my mom was always more excited about Christmas than we were.
Yeah.
That's how I am.
So, like, when we were kids, we had to wait. Because we were waiting for, like, a grandparent to come. They would be there or whatever. As an adult, my mom was waking us up because we were sleeping in. And she wanted to wake up.
Oh, she wanted to experience holiday experience. Gotcha.
She wanted us all to get up and to pass out presents and do all that stuff. And I mean, the excitement wasn't still there, but like, she still wanted to get up early. My mom.
Mom sounds like a control freak.
I mean, she's a little OCD. She's very particular. I have moments like that where I have to stop myself because, like, this is, like, what I'm used to. And I'm like, dude, it's fine. I'm like it's that replaceable. Too. I literally, because we've got kids now, you know, here. And I find myself going, oh, my God, just put it back. And
I'm like, I do the same thing with Michael, Jamie.
It's okay.
He drags this blanket through the fucking apartment. And, like, we have the litter in a specific spot, like, past the bedroom. Yeah. And I get so mad. I'm like, Michael, don't drag the blanket. So then the other night, Justin was like, where's this blanket? And I said, it's in the other room. I said, but don't use it because he dragged it on the floor. And I don't know why. I like freaked out. I was like, but don't let him drag it. Like, get another blanket because I don't want him using that one. And Justin's like, will you calm down?
I get it a little bit.
Can't help it.
He's young.
Yeah,
you don't want him to be exposed to the dirty litter that gets kicked out when the cat, you know, I'm like, I get that. It's also messy. The stuff gets everywhere. See, these are the things that I have to chill myself out when I go and react. And I like, there's like something's like not in the right spot. And I just need to be like, okay,
I know
that's okay.
I'm very OCD and I'm a,
I fight that sometimes. I really fight that sometimes because this is like the environment that I grew up in. You know what I mean? And I think it's funny. My mom would probably come here and laugh at me now because I was the messy one. And now like I'm the one that's cleaning up and stuff. And it's like, you know, whatever. And I mean,
I got it.
Yeah. We all do it. We all fight that. We all fight that little person talking on our shoulder going, it's not in the right spot. I'm like, shut up, it's fine.
I know, I'm like, I wish I wasn't like this.
Yeah.
I'm a Virgo, but then I'm not. So, like, parts of me is like, oh, no. If I don't do it, it's not clean. It's Same. Not done right. And then other parts of me is like, fuck it. This house is just a lunatic. I can't deal. So the other day, my daughter dropped something on the ground. I don't even remember what it was, like a Hawaiian roll or something. She picks it up, blows it off, and go, it's okay. I've had all my shots. And I've literally said the same thing, though. So she's got it from me, where if something falls and I know the floor is clean, I just give it to him anyway. And I'll say, it's okay. You have all your shots. So now it's like a joke, but I don't know. My parents weren't so crazy about Christmas. Like, we could open our stockings, but we couldn't open like presents until everyone came in. But we had to, like, at my grandparents' house, that was like the bougie Christmas where you had to do like the fancy dinner and everything. And then all the aunts, uncles, and cousins, then you can open stuff. And that took hours because there was a lot of us. So that was like the bougie Christmas. But now here, my kids get up at 4:30.
Oh my God.
And they open, even my 20-year-old will come over at 4 o'clock in the morning, use her key, come in the front door, and they'll all open their stockings while my husband and I are asleep. Then they come in at 5:30 and wake us up. And I'm like half dead and drink my coffee. And then the youngest goes first. And we just, each person takes a turn.
Oh, wow. We never did that stuff. So it's finally Christmas morning. And baby Alexander is no longer a baby. And he's waking Joey up. And we got a reenactment of Jamie in her 20s being woken up by her mother.
Basically, and, like, oh, and what's funny is she, like, if you watch her when she's walking down the aisle after her dad comes in to tell her somebody's at the door, she literally stops at the tree, touches in, is like, and then keeps walking.
Well, the other thing too that cracked me up, she took her good old time. Her dad's like, someone's at the door for you. And
I know, I would have been like, ooh, who's there? Let me rush. She was just like,
I thought it was Pacey at first. I didn't even think of Eddie.
I would have loved if it was Pacey.
Me too.
I don't know why I thought it was Pacey. But no, she puts on her big long duster sweater, and then she like prances by the tree, and she like, you know, scoffs. Then she finally opens the door, and we see Eddie, and he's there with his car because he has a vehicle, and he like does like a ta-da to the ginormous real tree that's on top of his station wagon, and she like leans against the door or the door frame, and she's just like, oh, so. Eddie, you brought me a Christmas tree.
By the way, I love those duster sweaters. I think I had like 10 of them that around that time.
I wonder if it's a Lisa Rinna duster sweater.
Only found at QVC.
Only at QVC. So, anyway. Oh, so after that, we cut to Audrey, and she's looking through the medicine cabinet, and she takes a swig of vodka. And she's like, nobody likes you. You're a loser. Don't you forget it. And she comes out and she starts talking to Mike Potter. She's like, ditched for the boyfriend yet again. And Mike's like, Audrey, what do we think about this guy? What do we know about this guy? And she says, chip on his shoulder, blue on his collar. I don't know. Joey seems to like him. Eddie seems to be able to incorporate all the best elements of Pacey and Dawson. So it makes him like the T-1000 of love interests. And then she goes, quid pro quo, Mr. Potter, what can you tell me about prison? And he's like, what? I'd want to know.
I want to
know. I'd so be Audrey. Did Joey put money on your commissary? Like, how did it go? Like, what happened?
Did you make any friends? Did you make any enemies?
Did you kill anybody on the outside while you were on the inside?
Did you join the gang?
Did you need to carry a shank in your underwear?
Did you make toilet one?
Did you find love after lockup?
Do you have any prison tattoos?
So many questions we could have asked them.
I know.
So then we cut to Eddie and Joey out front on the porch, and he's hugging her from behind, and they're like having this weird embrace. It's so weird. She's like, what changed your mind? And he's like, I missed you. And she says, well, you can go now. I don't want you to be in a critical juncture of too much too soon. And he goes, shut up, because she told him to shut up in the beginning of the episode. And then they start kissing, and her dad comes out, and she wants to talk to Eddie, and she's like, I don't want to leave, because my dad's going to be a total asshole, I know it. But he's like, don't worry, I can handle this. And she goes in. So then Mike Potter, her father, who just got out of prison, who
Thank
like
you.
abandoned his family, who like burned down their family like fortune, like could have cared less about his children, starts grilling this boy about his like job and his schooling. Like, oh my God. I was like, shut the fuck up, Mike Potter. Like, who are you to say any of this to him? Like, you're nobody.
Same reaction.
I literally put in my notes. I was like, do we think Joey's dad really has any say in the matter? This man has hardly been around, especially for Joey's adult life. Does this man have a say?
He got out of prison, got a George Clooney Caesar haircut circa 1995, and suddenly he wants to be like his kid's protector of like whatever. He's such an asshole.
Oh, I was so, I got the such the ick. Like, it really gave me the ick. I'm just like, who the fuck are you?
He's just, it's giving ick. It's definitely giving ick right
I would
now.
have
Like,
been
I'm not
like,
without
if I
kids
wanted
say.
someone's opinion, I would have fucking asked Bessie. I
I
just,
know. Yeah, Bessie would be more like, I'm
like,
more concerned about her than him.
I understand because it's his daughter that he feels like he's entitled to it, but in the bottom line, like, dude, you've been in and out of prison twice. You haven't been there. You left prison the second time, didn't tell anybody where you were or anything,
Yeah.
and just were like went AWOL. Like, I don't think, while I understand that you want what's best for your daughter, although do you, because you've made some questionable choices about your life and how you're involved in them. I don't think this man really has, like, he should just stay wherever he was at this point. They
Stay
are
in his
better off without him.
lane. He needs to
They are
stay in his
better off
lane.
without him. He came back after they built the B&B because, you know, he burnt down their restaurant. And then, like, I mean, what are you doing? Because every time you come around, they finally are situated and then you fuck it up again. So again, just stay away. I feel he should have just stayed away. They're better off without you. That's my opinion. I'm sticking to it.
What drug are you trafficking through the restaurant this time?
Right? Well, they don't have a
Through the
restaurant now. It's the
B&B.
B&B. Oh, God, I hope none.
No, he's leaving drugs on there under their pillows.
It's their dad, and I understand it, but at the same time, like, I just don't know if this guy can learn his lesson. He had his second chance and he blew that. So they're giving him a third now?
Yeah, with his sad eyes.
Oh,
You with the sad eyes.
right. Don't
I
be
mean, he
discouraged.
didn't.
He didn't go back yet though, right? Obviously. So like the first time he came back, he wasn't home for long before he got arrested again. I mean, this is probably the longest he's gone without crime. Maybe there's luck for him. There's chance for him yet.
I don't think he's in any other episodes. I think this is it. Like, they were like, we need
Yeah.
Mike Potter. Get him in. Get him on the
Let's
episode.
cause more drama with the new boyfriend and give him the mean mug until he's like, I don't think this is gonna work.
So weird. But Eddie feels like a total loser now. And Eddie's like,
Yeah. And it's not his fault. His dad's the loser.
Eddie makes all these weird faces like, Mr. Potter, I can't believe you just said that to me. I just met you. If I was Eddie, I would have been like, why do you care if I went to
You.
school? Like, did you go to
Did
school?
you
My God. That triggers me. 'Cause like I went to school. I went to school like for years because I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And there was this customer that used to come in the store all the time. And like when I wasn't in school, she would bring it up to me. And I'd be like, I don't even know you. Like, why do you care about my life? I used to be like, do you want to pay my tuition? And I'll go to school if you
Yeah,
want to pay my tuition.
you want to pay those bills while I try to figure out what I'm doing with my life?
He's like, worry about you and your fucking kids. Like, I don't care what you think about me. So weird. People think they can just say whatever they want to anybody. It's insane to me.
Right? Like, are you responsible for me? No, go focus on somebody
No.
you are responsible, like your Rugrats running
So weird. So now we cut to Dawson and he's in his bedroom, the iconic Dawson Leary bedroom. And
The only thing in this house that hasn't changed.
As he's getting dressed, the camera pans to like all the pictures of him and his friends, and we see Andy in like a couple of the pictures. And
Oh,
there's this
man.
like lone photo of Joey, like a promotional photo of Joey from like season three, because her hair is like really short. And Natasha comes in and she like wants to fuck his brains out in his childhood bed. And she starts kissing him and he's just not focused. And she's like, "What's wrong?" And he goes, "Max Winter." She's like, "Are you trying to tell me something, Dawson? Because you should not be thinking about Max Winter right now." And he's like, "I'm being serious." And he's like, "You lied to me. You said you were watching TV, but I saw you leave with him, or I saw him leave your room." She's like, "Well, what's your point?" I would have been like, "What? What's my point?" Like, he's like, "I need to know what we're doing here, Natasha." And she goes, "I thought we were having fun, Dawson. At least that's what I thought we were doing." And he goes, "Well, that's crap. Otherwise, you wouldn't have gotten so upset when you found out about Joey." And she goes, "Oh, I was just being dramatic." She's like, "It's all about my ego. It's not fun being dumped by the guy you're having a fling with, especially when he's the director's assistant." And he's like, "So that's all this is to you?" She's so annoyed at him right now. And she's like, "Ugh, are you on your period right now, Dawson?" Which was very mean. And he's like, "I wasn't being very clear before, but now I am. You have a perverse thing over screwing the help." And she's like, "You know, you crack me up, Dawson. You say these noble things about how you don't want to play the game, when the truth is you brought me home for Christmas, and you can't tell me that you don't have some perverse thrill showing me off to your friends and family. The hot fucking actress that I am." She goes, "It's really a shame, Dawson, because there'll be one day when you're old and gray, not even the Viagra's doing it for you anymore, and you could have looked back finally on that time you banged the living daylights out of that actress in your childhood bedroom while she still had her looks. I guess that's what you get for thinking with your brain when you really should be thinking with your..." I think you know. I remember that scene. I was like, what a dumb delivery. And Dawson's just left being like, "What just happened? I'm so confused."
I don't even...
Should I have fucked her?
Why do you think that he brought her home? Like, I'm very confused, right? She already made this comment about not being with him in a girlfriend-boyfriend setting. Like, I have two questions with this. Like, do you think that she's been clear since the beginning? Like, this is all there ever is? Or do you think there's, like, some mind games playing?
No.
And then my other question is, like, do you think he should have known better? Like, after bringing her home, I mean, after everything that happened with that actor, Max, whatever, visiting, I feel like there's a lot of red flags there. And I just don't understand why he decided to bring her home when they have this weird relationship thing happening.
How about the red flag when she literally said, "I don't have a boyfriend"? And
that's what I'm talking about.
He's not my boyfriend.
That's what I'm talking about. He literally had that red flag happen and he brought her home anyways. Why? And do we think that she's been clear this entire time about the type of relationship she wants from him? No, right? Because I haven't been clear. She got super upset. Like, I mean, she explains it later, but she got super upset when he left her for Joey. And it was like this big girlfriend to do thing. Yeah, I had a girlfriend. Like, this is what happened. But now she's like, "No, that was ego." That's what she says later. And I'm just like, I'm fucking confused. I understand. But like at the same time, I'm like, were you interested in him in the beginning? Is there a sick, perverse thing going on because he's the help? Or, and you're like, "You know what? He left me the first time. I'm going to distance myself the second time." Does she just like how he makes her feel? And this ends after rap? Like, she explains that later, that that's what it is. But has it always been that way? Like, I'm very confused with them. I don't know what's happening. She's not clear. And she's playing mind games now. And I don't like it.
I think that because he's not a casual dater.
No, he's not.
Like, we've Neither seen historically are. He's not a casual dater. Like he, like with Jen.
And neither is Joey. And Joey's dealing with something kind of similar at this point. They're not casual daters. They're relationship people.
And I think Natasha fooled him and was like, "Oh no, we're going to have a relationship and we're going to be together. Da 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 da."
Just to get his pants.
Just to get in his pants, and then the whole thing with what's his name happened, and then it kind of like changed the dynamics.
Yeah.
Like he realized that maybe she's not as into it anymore, and he realized, "Oh shit, I'm jealous. Like I need her," because he really hasn't had too many sexual partners.
Nice.
And so maybe he's like, you know, he had the two part two partners or three? Three, because he had that one movie chick. And now he's like had his taste of the pussy and he wants more type of thing, you know? Awesome.
He had his taste of the cunt and he wants more now. No, well, too Natasha.
Many, too many, oh my, too many mind games anymore with this. With this, like, I'm just stop.
Natasha was the best sex of his life, though. So
the best sex he's ever had.
Yeah, I think she that episode at the end of Living Dead Girl, where she basically says like all that bullshit to him, and he's like, "Are you really like you really want to do this?" I took that as they were like moving into like a relationship together. Like
me too, and I like think so did Dawson. Monogamous
relationship together.
Yeah,
but I think once Max Winter came, yeah, she was sort of like, "Well, I don't think I want to do that." And we're having fun because she made it very clear during Spiderwebs that they were just having a lot of fun together, and he's having great sex with her. And Todd even says, "Like, don't mess this up because you're never going to be able to shag her anymore, and just take advantage of it." And he's just like, "I can't. Like, that's not in my character to just do that, to ignore something." So he's, like Shayna said, he's not a casual dater. He takes relationships very seriously, and he doesn't know how to take, or he doesn't know how to be in a relationship where you're just having, like, fun, having sex, going out, and, like, if he were to be out without her and somebody caught his eye and they happened to have sex, I don't think he would be able to do that because he's so committed to being with one person. So
yeah. And I mean, not fun. Everybody is like that either. You know what I mean? Like, I can't do the casual thing like that. I need to have a emotional connection to somebody. Same. I can't just lay down and spread my legs. Like, it doesn't work like that for me. I'm not into it. I need to be in a safe, like, emotional connected way with somebody, you know what I mean? I can't just do that. And that's not everybody's like that. Some people can do the casual thing and that's cool. That's your thing. Go for it. That's what you want in life. I'm just saying, like, I can relate to these guys. I can relate to Dawson. I can relate to Joey and the fact that, like, we are relationship people.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Yeah. I do think though he did enjoy taking her home and showing her off to everybody too.
I'm sure. I mean, nobody is immune to it. He literally brought celebrities home, and that's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like a given. She can't like fault him for that. I mean,
no. What did she think was going to happen? But like, she's going to fault him for it. And I think also her ego probably got bruised when he turned her down for sex.
Yeah.
I can't do this. She's bruised again, so now she's pissed off. She's very selfish.
And maybe a little bit. You know,
at least she's aware of her selfishness.
True.
She's maybe at a least self-aware. Yeah.
To rub everybody's noses in it. Like, ha, I'm dating a movie star and y'all aren't. And, you know, ha, 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 ha. And Joey's just with this blue collar whatever. You know, maybe that was a little bit of it too.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if I can see Dawson being that petty, but I guess he can be definitely that petty. I mean, who can't? It's just, I don't know. I did think he truly liked her, though.
I didn't
think so.
And well, just, you know, it's whatever. But yeah.
Well, I don't like Natasha.
No, mm-mm. I haven't liked her for a while.
All right. So everybody is showing up at the Leary house. They all get out of the car except for Audrey. Like, all the Potters show up and Audrey's not in the car with them. Did you notice that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know what happened there. Was she already at the house? I don't remember. Or does she show up later?
I didn't see her at the house. I think, I don't know where she was. Where was she staying if she wasn't with Joey?
They showed her.
No, she was at the house because she was talking to her dad at the Christmas tree when Joey went outside.
No, I'm talking about when they're all going to the Leary's house for Christmas dinner. And when they show Audrey, she's in the bathroom taking Gail's pills, but they don't show her getting out of the car with Joey and her family. She just happens to be there, I guess. I don't know.
Maybe she had to stop at the liquor store and then they carted her and she couldn't get alcohol, which is why she was going through Gail's medicine cabinet.
Maybe that.
Because remember at the Potter house, she had the alcohol, but she was going through their medicine cabinet and there was nothing in there. So she swigged from her drink and then she wasn't with them in the car. So she's probably like, I'll see you there. Went to the liquor store. They carted her. She couldn't get the alcohol. So then she showed up later and started going through the medicine cabinet there and decided to pop some pills. That's the story I'm making up in my head.
Yeah, I know.
There's sounds, me connecting dots, great. Okay? We're connecting those dots. That's where she is right now. The girl can't go without some kind of influence.
True. So Eddie's confused why they're even there. And Joey's like, is it going to be weird for you? And he's like, I have no beef with this guy, but is it going to be weird for you? She's like, it's always going to be weird between me and Dawson. That's just the way it is. She's like, look, we'll have a quick dinner and we'll just go. I really want to have some alone time with you because I need you to fuck me, Eddie. Because that's all she cares about now. And he's like, you know, I have to spend time with my family too, Joey. I do have a family. And he's like, you know, I was thinking. She's like, I'd love to. He doesn't even like get out the whole sentence. And he's like, you don't even know what I was going to say. And she's like, you were going to ask me to come back and meet your family. I'd love to, Eddie. And he goes, look, don't worry. My family is a lot less intimidating. She's like, what do you mean? And he goes, is your dad always that hard on potential suitors? She's like, Eddie, if my dad was a fucking asshole to you, I need to know. And he's like, no, your dad was a really kind gentleman. Let's please go in and not make this a thing. So anyway, Pacey and Doug pull up. This is when he's like, is everything on the up and up? And he's like, Pacey's like, oh, right, because I'm a widower. That immediately means I'm a fucking loser, right? And he's like, no, Pacey, but like, you're bringing home all these presents and like, everybody's overwhelmed. And I just want to make sure like everything's okay. And he's like, yeah, Doug, can we just like not talk about this? Like, let's just go in and eat dinner. And he's like, all right, fine.
I didn't understand that, by the way. Why are the widders considered losers when literally they're all like successful policemen?
I don't know. It's just
except
him.
Except for him. Like, I don't <crazy. laughs> I don't understand it. Like,
and apparently the
him.
And apparently the sister who had like seven kids or whatever, who eats too much. I'm like, she's just a normal person.
She's just a woman with a lot of kids and stressed out. Like, again, she's normal. And then you got Gretchen, who is pretty normal. And then you've got Pacey, who's just, you know, normal. He's a normal dude his age. I don't. And then
who, like, knows how to sail a boat across the world, apparently.
But he's a loser. And then you got their dad, who's a sheriff. And then Dougie, who's, like, probably chief. I don't know. He's police. Like, he's
and,
like
and the mom's a lesbian. I mean, it's all, you know, other
families. It's a very functional family. I don't know what they're talking about.
It's a very functional, dysfunctional family. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like every fucking family in America.
Exactly.
So, this is when we see Audrey taking Gail's pills in a soapy glass. Did you notice that? She takes a swig.
Yeah. Why was there so much, like, what was actually in that? Because it
was like
water.
somebody just rinsed their mouth out with, like, mouthwash or something.
Mouthwash.
She like drank it too.
They had foamy water, man. Whatever.
Yeah. Glad I wasn't the only one who noticed that. So everyone.
No, I noticed that. And the glass didn't look good either. It was like
residue.
Yes, the word. It's got like
from
residue.
Gail's,
I'm gonna use a clear glass.
From Gail's backwash mouthwash. That's what it was.
They should have just used a Dixie cup. Dixie cups were popular Dixie then. Cup. Why didn't they? You use Dixie cup, you crumple it, throw it in your wastebasket. Like, why not use Dixie cups? Everybody would have known what it was. It's a damn Dixie cup. Use a Dixie cup.
First of all, I think using actual glasses in the bathroom are disgusting because there's so much dust and everything happening in a bathroom.
Yeah.
And the likelihood that that's getting washed on a regular basis is less.
Not.
Way less. That shit ain't getting washed. This shit's sitting there for months. Like, come on.
I'm not a fan of it. All right, so now everyone's sitting at the table. Audrey comes down. She's totally wasted. She asks where Jack is. Did anybody realize Jack was even in this episode until she said this?
No. We're too focused on the rest of the chaos that was happening.
And Jen's like, are you drunk, Audrey? And Audrey's like, yeah, but that doesn't answer what Jack is. And he's like, he's in Europe with his dad and Andy. And I was like, we got an Andy mention.
Andy.
So Grams goes to sit down and Audrey literally like takes her seat from her. Just so bizarre. Audrey was like Grams' number one fan like at one point. And she's like hijacking her seat. So then Gail's like, Evelyn, would you like to lead us in prayer? And then Todd does instead. He's like, I would. So
oh
he goes,
God.
He goes off about like a gazillion dumb things. And he's like, everybody at this table is my celebrated audience. And he's like, he recognizes Jen and he asks her if they shagged. And she's like, no. And everything she says, Jen cracks up at because it's like.
Yeah, so she's laughing the entire time he's talking. She's like, oh, my God, he's smashed.
And he's thankful for Gail and his progeny. Dalston.
He couldn't pronounce it. He said it like five times.
Yeah,
progeny.
Progeny. Oh. So Todd talks about Dalston and how he's an invaluable member of his production. And he's like, I love him. And he says he got himself in a sexual relationship. And then Dalston's like, can we wrap this up, Todd? So then this is when Mike Potter is telling Dalston how impressed he is with how Dalston's life turned out. And he's like, is there an opening for Eddie? Because I know Eddie's looking for work. And Eddie's like, what? Like, I don't work in film. And yeah, Eddie's like, thanks, but no thanks. I don't need your help. And Mike's like, oh no, he goes, that's not my thing. Mike says, well, what is your thing, Eddie? And Joey's like, Dad, stop being a dick. And he's like,
I was surprised.
I know.
Were you not surprised they said dick on that on that channel? Like, I was like, whoa.
Yeah, for the time, yeah, I was surprised. And I liked it, though. I liked that she called him that because he is being a dick.
Oh, I agree.
I wish that she had, if they gave her that line just to say, Dad, you have no right. You have no right to say any of this stuff. I wish that they gave her that line, but they didn't. So Audrey asks Mike another question about prison, except it's not about prison. She goes, why is it you don't think Eddie is good enough for your daughter? And Joey's like, back off, Audrey. And she's like, what's your problem, princess? I was sticking up for Joe Dirt. And Pacey's like, this isn't going to end well. And she goes, you can shut the fuck up, Pacey. And he's like, you're out of line, Audrey. You're out of line. And she goes, of course I am. Anyone who messes with the one who got away and you get all up on your high horse. And then Jen's like, Audrey, please stop. And Audrey goes, and what's your problem, Lindley? Jen's like, I think you're the one with the problem. Oh, are you still upset that I shagged your dream boy? Because I am sorry about that. It's like, what? Why'd she say that? And Jen's like, why are you here? And she goes, because I missed my flight, bitch. And she's like, and I'm high. I'm very high. And Gal's like, Audrey, I think maybe you should go lie down. And she goes, thanks, Gal, but I'm just getting started here. So she goes off on this whole, like, oh my God, she assassinates everybody. That's crazy.
Oh yeah, she goes down the line one by one and just blows up everybody. And I was here for it.
Yeah.
That was, oh my God. And because she told the truth.
She did.
She said what everybody else was thinking. Like, well, Dawson and Pacey are never going to be the same again. That's the truth.
I thought it was funny, though, that nobody tried to stop her.
No, they all just kind of were like, oh.
Yeah.
But nobody really was like, okay, that's enough. Let's go.
Yeah, just let her keep talking. Maybe she'll fall asleep or something. they're all like, none of us really deal with our problems anyway. So, like, who cares? Yeah.
In two episodes, it'll be over with.
Exactly. We'll talk about this next season. Wink, wink. When it's over. So she's like, this whole gathering is hypocritical. I may be flying high on a cocktail of vodka and painkillers, but I'm the only one who sees things very clearly. And that's when she says Dalston and Pacey hate each other. They're never going to mend their rift between this rift between them. It's all a charade. And she tells Dalston and Joey that they slept together and they never really dealt with it. And as for Pacey, I'm really sorry that Audrey Hepburn next to you broke your heart all those years ago, and it's prevented you from fully committing to an adult relationship. But just grow up. Grow up, Pacey. She gets up and she goes, Merry Christmas, wait. She goes, she gets up and she says, Merry Christmas, scum suckers. Peace out. She like gets up. She goes and she finds keys and she goes outside. She's walking all drunk. Which was very believable. She delivered it.
Yeah, she did good.
And also the camera was like doing this like crazy thing. It reminded me of like being drunk. It really took me back. And she gets in Pacey's car. She starts driving in reverse. We cut to everybody back at the table and they're all like talking. And then they're like, is that your car, Pacey? And then all of a sudden there's a car coming through the living room and it busts down the Christmas tree and Audrey's in the car. And they're like, is she okay? Is she all right? And they all get up and she finally gets out of the car and she goes, I zagged when I should have zigged. And then she like passes out.
Did you notice how nobody jumped when the car came through the house, they all just turned.
Well, I noticed Eddie turns his head first before the car even comes through. I was wondering if it was just like because of so many takes or he was like waiting. I don't know.
Or maybe he heard the car coming. You know what I mean? Like they heard the rev. So he was like, what? Because I've been in an accident where like you turn before the impact. You know what I mean? Like you see it or whatever, you hear it. So he could have just been like, huh, it's coming from this direction. But nobody jumped. Everybody who had their backs to it, nobody jumped. Like Joey was right there. The car comes through and she just looks. Like, that's it. There's no jumping. Like if somebody crashes through, you're jumping. You know what I mean? It's unexpected.
Yeah.
Nobody jumped. I don't know how many takes it took for them to get that right, but nobody jumped. Not one person.
They're like, this is typical.
I don't know how you don't jump. And nobody was angry. Like everybody was just calm. Oh, let's get Audrey out of it. Like, honestly, I was with Dougie on that one.
Well, that's what happens next. They go outside. Pacey and Doug are outside, and Pacey's trying to get Doug to cover it up because he doesn't want Audrey to get in trouble. And he's like, are you willing to do this? Like, to put
take
yourself...
the complete blame for it. Like,
yeah,
you
take
drove
the blame.
Your car through it.
And he's like, yeah. And, like, I'll pay for whatever, like, you know. He's like, of course you will. Throw money at it, Pacey. Because that's what you do now. You throw money at things. But that's when he's, like, telling him that I really thought that you were better as a cook as opposed to what you're doing now. Like, there was something honest about you being a cook. I don't know.
I liked him as the cook, though. I mean, it's whatever right now. I could deal with him losing that schmarmy beard mustache thing he's got going on, but I liked him when he was a cook.
Look, I'm just happy for Pacey whenever he's thriving. And he thrived as a cook. He's thriving as a stockbroker. And, like, he doesn't feel bad about himself. Like, he feels like he's on top. And that's when Pacey is, like, doing his best. So, I'm proud
of Pacey. Good point. I agree with that. Good point. I agree with that.
So, now we're with Jen and Audrey, and she's laying in Dawson's room. The makeup on her lips is hysterical. So, Audrey gets really nasty with Jen. Jen's like, why are you so angry, Audrey? And she's like, is this some sad attempt to impress CJ? Because the last time I checked, he wasn't here. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, she's rough, man.
And Jen's like, I'm just trying to help. And
she's
she says, well,
everybody.
Don't. Just don't help me, Jen. Just pretend I'm too far gone, which isn't far from the truth. She's like, I just want to be left alone. I'm so sick and tired of you people. You all say you want to help, but it's all just posturing because none of you really noticed how screwed up I was until tonight. Friends like you, who needs enemas? It's like, wow, one last crack, right?
Yeah.
And Jen's
as
like,
she's passing out on the bed.
She's like, fuck
I
you,
don't know.
I'm out.
Why didn't anybody call an ambulance or something? I mean, I get it for the police report, but not any medical. Oh, Grams. I forgot. Grams was a nurse. Never mind.
Oh, good point. Yeah. Grams pulled out her old, like, she had, like, one of those things that you have in hospitals that you hang, like, the bag of, like, whatever.
Like an IV bag?
Yeah. Grams just carries one around with her all the time.
Yeah, she's got her stethoscope in her purse, and
she's like, I knew that Audrey was going to drive through the fucking house tonight, so I kept it in my purse.
There's always trouble when all of you are together.
You know, Grams didn't even talk in this episode. Did you notice that? Grams, Bessie, and Bodie never said anything, but baby Alexander did. He said something.
You're right.
Okay, so this is when Natasha is sneaking out and Dawson catches her. She's like, I slept with Max Winter. The whole episode, I kept thinking, tomorrow when we record this, I'm going to say, do you guys think she slept with Max Winter? And then she answered it for me. So she did. Then I got thinking about the conversation we had about how she slept with Max Winter. Then she went to Dawson's room afterwards and she got fucked up.
I told you, Max said, well, would satisfy her.
Yeah,
so
but
she
still,
crawling to him, and she probably didn't even shower that skank.
Yeah, that's disgusting. So Dawson fucked her after she fucked Max Winter.
The moment that he saw them outside of her bedroom, her like room, and not downstairs, the moment she took him back to her place, dude, they totally boned. And she wasn't satisfied. She was all keyed up. So she went to the one person she knew could get her off. Dawson, right down the way.
Yep. She's disgusting, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look.
I called that shit, man. I called that shit.
She's clearly sexually free with herself. Like, that's fine. But I think that's kind of disgusting for Dawson. You know? I mean,
No, it's just
hopefully.
gross. It's gross in general. Like, you just
Well,
shower.
hopefully they use protection. That's all I gotta say.
Oh,
Hopefully she
true.
wasn't raw dogging it.
Ugh.
So he's like, that's fantastic. Great. And she's like, look, I'm just being honest with you. That's what you wanted, right? And he goes, yeah. Yes. Honesty. It's what I wanted. And she says, I'm sorry for being reckless with your emotions. I thought we were having fun, but I don't love you, Dawson. I don't love you. She's like, I never did. It was fun. I never thought it would even last past rap. And he says, yeah, well, you know what? I don't love you either. And I think he was kind of like, wait, I don't love her either.
Yeah, I think it was like when he was saying it was part to respond to her, but also part realization.
Right. He was like, I don't love her. I don't have to be in a relationship with somebody that I love. Like, maybe we
I'm
were just having
free,
fun.
free at last, free at last. I'm out of here.
She goes, of course you don't, silly. You're not built for this. I am too young and too self-absorbed to be entangled in something so serious. And if I'm too young, then you're way too young. And she goes, you're going to make some girl's dreams come true someday, which is why I have to stop this now before I break your heart and turn you into a bitter cynic. And he goes, don't flatter yourself, Natasha. You know who already did that for him? Joey Potter. All right. You're no Joey Potter. So she's like, all
I
right,
think he's bitter,
adios.
though. Like, do you think he's bitter? I don't think he's bitter.
Oh, I think he's bitter. I think Dawson and Joey, I think they're all fucking bitter. They're all bitter Bettys and they're all cynics. They all are. They all like hate, they all hate themselves for like no reason. And then they love themselves for no reason. Like they're all crazy. They're all nuts. All right, so now we're with Eddie and Joey, and he's like, look, I don't think you should come back with me because you need to deal with your bullshit here before you come to visit me. But I don't think it was the right time to even come here and meet your family because you got a lot of shit that you need to deal with from your past. And I don't want you taking that back with me to my family. And she's just like not getting it. She's like, why, Eddie? Why? I'll be good. I'll be great. I don't have anything to deal with here, clearly. He says, your dad was kind of a fucking asshole to me tonight, considering he just got a pr I wrote all that. Considering he just got out of prison. But he wasn't exactly wrong either. I'm not the most together guy. And she's like, well, who asked you to be? What does that even mean? And he's like, I should have trusted my gut and I shouldn't be here because it was all too much too soon. I shouldn't be dealing with a father who thinks I'm a loser or all of your ghosts of relationships past. It's too much. We need to be in the here and now. She's like, okay, great. Then that's what we'll do. And he says, you know, the same thing would have happened if you met my family. They'd be very impressed, but also very suspicious. And he's like, because you're so damn beautiful, Joey Potter. It's like Katie Holmes had the biggest confidence. She had so much confidence in the world
Oh,
video.
yeah.
You know? She's like, I'm beautiful.
Cut to Katie.
Cut to Katie. Every scene with Audrey, they're like, cut to Katie now. He's like, they'd be wondering, what the fuck is she doing with you, Eddie? And then after you were gone, they'd say to me, what the hell are you doing, kid? That girl's gonna break your heart. She's like, I have no intention of breaking your heart, Eddie. I swear, I promise. And he says, nobody ever does. And then he kisses her on the forehead and he leaves. He's like, I gotta go too. Adios. So we cut to our final scene, and Joey and Dawson are talking on the dock. And she's like, hey, didn't I sleep with you once and never talk to you again? And he's like, yeah, don't worry about it. It happens to me all the time. She goes, some night, huh? He goes, well, it kind of puts things into perspective. If Audrey had taken us out in a blaze of glory, I'd hate to think that the last meaningful conversation we had was that one in your dorm room. And she's like, she was right, though. We never really did deal with what happened. She's like, I put it in a little box and just pushed it far, far away. And she's like, sometimes it's easy for me to kind of hate you because I know that you're out there. And if I ever really needed you, I know you'd be there for me. And he's like, well, it's true. I would. And she's like, then how come we only ever end up hurting each other? And he's like, I have no idea, Joey. He's like, well, we're not hurting each other now. And she's like, because right now is an illusion. It's a truce. But right now, I just want to stand here and talk to the one person who can maybe help me figure out how everything got this way. I'm like, what is she talking about? I'm so confused.
I'm so confused.
Like, she wants to talk about their problems right now, like how they got to where they're at, or like how Audrey drove through a house, or like her and Eddie. What does she really want to talk
What do
about?
we need to talk about?
Like, they're having, I don't get it. They're having like a nice moment with one another, which they haven't had all season, except for when they slept together. And then suddenly this like weird thing happened on Christmas. She's trying to like, have like common ground with him again. And she's talking nonsense to him, and I don't understand any of it.
No, it was a weird scene.
Ugh, I didn't get it. So she goes, "We can go back to hating each other in the morning." And he goes, "Sounds like a plan." And then he puts his arm around her. He says, "I don't really hate you." And she goes, "I don't really hate you either." And we see that it starts snowing, and we get the end credits, and that's the end of the episode. Next episode is number 11, Days Out of Days. So that was the episode.
That was the
Maybe.
episode.
Anyway, final thoughts, Shayna? You got anything else you want to talk about with this episode?
No, I just think the end, like the last scene, was kind of weird. Like they couldn't figure out what to do for the last scene. So they just like threw that in there.
Yeah.
It was kind of inconsistent with the rest of the story to me.
Yeah, same. I didn't understand it.
Like, what do we need to talk about now? Because we're both single, so now we're both gonna try to go down this path again, or what?
I hope not.
Me
Oh,
too, but
God.
I don't think that they, I don't think that they do.
I don't think they do either.
Well, Jamie, do you have any final thoughts on the episode?
I really liked this episode. It was beautifully chaotic, and I'm glad to see that there are some things that are ending, like Natasha. And hopefully Eddie, we'll see what happens because I don't remember, but it's did end off very good for them. I don't remember what happens next though. I don't remember what the next episode is, but I'm sure it's going to result in Audrey going to rehab. That's got to be coming soon. What episode number was this?
10.
Ten.
I think it was like 12. Was it 12 that she goes to rehab?
I don't remember.
11? I don't remember either. I looked it up once and I already forgot. Oh well. But I'm very much looking forward to the next handful of episodes that we've got left. It's almost over.
Well, I thought it was a good episode. I loved the whole thing with Audrey and how fucking crazy she was.
Yeah.
I am happy that Natasha's over and done with. I'm glad that Dawson actually realized that he can be in a fun relationship though. And maybe like if he wants to just go have like a fuck buddy, he can do that. And I kind of feel like that's what Joey and Eddie are kind of doing, but
Yeah,
they
it's
just
kind of
break it.
interesting. They have those parallels. They're both
Yeah.
in like this sexually charged relationship without the true commitment
Yeah.
from their partners. It's not even coming
Yeah.
from them, it's from their partners. We've got like this parallel thing happening here between them.
Yeah. I don't
I
know.
agree.
It's nice to see that they are capable of doing something like that though, because they're not being so serious, because the writers write them so fucking serious.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll see Jack next episode. I don't know. Who knows?
Who knows? We never know.
I kind of wish that Jack was there, though. Like, if Jack was there at the Christmas dinner, it would make more sense a little bit with Dougie at the end of the season.
I doubt that
Because,
they would have had them talking.
but at least they would have opened the doors and been like, oh, you didn't forget about me. Oh, no. You know what I mean? Like, something. Because we never see them together. I just remember the finale being like, oh, one of, okay. But like, now I need a story. I need some backstory here. How this happened. We never get that because it's like, years later, but still.
Look, there was just no room for Jack in this episode because they have too many storylines going on. Just like the last episode, or no, not. Yeah, the last episode, Jen and Jack weren't even in it. They were just
Yeah.
having like, I mean,
Jack's got
Jen.
his shit together right now, so it's like we'll leave the people who have their shit together for the most part alone. We'll keep it to the core and their shitty, crazy shit. Shitty, crazy shit. Yeah, that's the English language for you. Yep.
Right, well, I have nothing else to say. But Shayna, I wanted to say thank you for coming on
Of course. Yeah,
and
thank
giving
you.
your commentary. It's
Always
excellent
a
as
pleasure.
usual. And sorry for the chaotic recording that we had. Nobody will even hear half of it, but we went on like 100 tangents and this went on way too long. But that's the joy of finding people to do this with. And like, you get us and we had a good time and like, you know, we'll do it again. So
I hope so.
yeah, we enjoy having you on.
It won't be DC, but it'll be whatever you guys do next.
I'm so excited for it.
All right, well, why don't we wrap this up?
This is what happens. I mean,
I
we've
know.
said this before, but this is how it goes with us. We just talk a whole lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, Shanna, it's always a pleasure.
Always.
Always.
You're like really like literally like one of us. So
I always have the best time.
oh,
I'm
that
so
makes us feel
glad.
good.
I'm so glad.
I was gonna say, I always have the best time on here with you guys, and then it makes me so excited when I get asked back, and I look forward to it.
That makes us happy. I'm so glad.
Janet, you're invited whenever you want. You have an open
Okay. Let us know.
invitation. Why
Okay.
don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
So on Instagram, I am Rosie Posey 40, or I'm on my business account, Bake My Day SC3. On Facebook, I am just Shayna Philhauer, or in the Creek Talk podcast group. I'm in there all the time.
Yeah, you'll see Shayna's posts.
You'll
It's
definitely see her.
yeah, it's great. It's
We
great.
love it.
You post everything. We love it so much.
We love it.
Well, Jamie, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram at jlyn_booklover, and then all of my links are in the link tree. And if anybody is within the States looking for like they're redoing their yard, they're looking for camping gear and stuff like that, definitely go check out One Stop Outdoors. You can get the link in my link tree. We've got sales and stuff going on. There's discount codes. Go check it out. But other than that, that's where you can find me, man. Like, I don't know. Say hi, drop in. I'm there.
Amazing.
What?
And if you want to follow us, you can find us on Instagram and on Threads at Creek Talk Podcast and on Twitter at Creek Talk Pod. Join our Facebook group and engage with us over there. You can also send us your feedback or any type of story you want us to read on our next episode at creektalkpodcast@gmail.com or send us a DM on Instagram. We would love to hear from you. And if you're feeling generous, you can give us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts and a 5-star rating on Spotify because that helps us out immensely. And if you're feeling super generous, you can always join our Patreon and go get some exclusive content over there. But yeah, click our link tree and any of our bios, and you'll find everything over there. But for now, thank you for listening. We hope everybody has a great weekend. Thank you again, Shanna, for joining us this episode. It's always a blast with you. And, you know, make sure you're not driving through anybody's house at Christmas time. I mean, who wants to deal with that mess, right?
If you decide to drink or you're under the influence, please don't get behind the wheel. Okay? Arrive
Really
alive.
have a Beamer.
Make good choices.
Make good choices.
We'll be back next week with an all new episode of Creek Talk Podcast. Bye.
Bye. Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, your living room is history.
Was funny.
Talking about the creek, creek talk, talking about the creek, creek talk, talking about the creek, talking about Dawson's Creek.